Uyazi umzansi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng. Or who secured the latest bag.
Or just who's dripping with sauce.
And who's adding the spice.
Jonga yonke into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the Chisa pod.
Chisa!
Hello, hi, welcome to another Chisa pod. I am Joy Mpande. Welcome to it. It's not every day that we have a legend in studio, but today I'm honored, so honored to have a man of this caliber in the room. You know him as a radio presenter, a TV presenter, but more especially a businessman as well. I'm talking about none other than DJ Spoo in the building. I wish I had horns like boo, 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 boo.
DJ Spoo.
This is the part where we actually like do, like maybe this is the effect, the sound effect. There we go.
No, this is how you do it. Sibonga.
There we go. Tico. Welcome to it. Cheers to it as well.
Cheers, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us in studio. We really are honored to have you. I'll have to ask you though, did you hug a tree this morning?
Not this morning.
Okay, when?
I do very often. I think this past week, on my birthday, day before yesterday.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I did, even on the weekend as well.
I have to start there, actually. The big 4-0. You did go on your YouTube to reflect, or rather to...
No, it's a big 4-5.
Wait.
Clearly I look good, guys. Thank you.
Okay,
thank
so you. The message that you put on your YouTube to your older self, to the Khrodman, that was the 445.
Also, what I did was, yes, 5 years ago, I put up a video of me speaking to the camera like this, recording a video of my 45-year-old self.
Oh, damn.
I'm speaking to him and saying, I know that in 5 years from today, you will be watching this video. So that's the video that I put up on my birthday to say, guys, on my 40th birthday, 5 years ago, this is a video that I did.
Yes.
And I think... it was beautiful to actually see my 40-year-old self speak to me. And now I'm doing it. I actually just did it. I'm going to upload it.
Okay.
I'm speaking to my 50-year-old self.
Wow.
Now that I'm 45, I'm speaking to my 50-year-old self. Yeah. And I'm going to watch that one in 5 years.
Wow. I think it's quite a blessing that you are still alive to even watch that video. I mean, definitely God bless that.
Gabonga,
I mean, the fact that you're still alive to even, you know, recognize that. So if looking back on that specific video, tell me just how you were, just your feelings that you got surrounding that. And maybe if you had really followed through with the message that you know, that you put out, and if you feel like you are just in par, you are definitely the DJ Spoo that you thought you were going to be right now at 45.
That's a very good question. When I listened to the message, I marinated on the message and I was like, wow, I'm so proud of myself, of the decisions that a younger me took for me to be where I am today. You know, even the journey that I'm on, the things that I've achieved, the person that I have become and the person I am becoming, how I move, how I do things, the decisions that I make, the type of father that I am, and everything that's just manifesting in my life. It's so incredible that that video pretty much summarized all of it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening in my life now is what I said then. And when I was saying it as a 40-year-old, I did say, Guti, whatever you are enjoying there, whatever type of life you're living there, it's because of the decisions that I'm taking now, Mina, as a 40-year-old, so that you'll have to be there wherever you are, right? And the reason I also spoke about it in public and did that type of a video is because I know that I've got a lot of young people that follow my work. And I hope, Uguti, those type of things sort of rub onto them as well to think about their future. Because sometimes when you're young and you think about the future, you think, it's very, very far. And it's actually not that far.
Yeah.
Right? Especially now that we're coming from COVID. 5 years was as if it was
next
like
thing
just...
Next you know, well, we're even halfway through 2024. That for me is even crazy.
But everything that I said there,
yeah,
it does make sense. And it did become, basically did become true. And it's becoming true also in everything else that I do.
Right.
My businesses are growing. I am becoming that person that, you know, I was saying at the time. You can even see at the time I had like a chiscop.
Yes.
I didn't have dreadlocks.
I was like, okay, did he chop it? I definitely was like, okay.
I saw some people saying, Spoo is lying. He's like, saying he's 40 years old.
It's like, yeah.
They don't read the caption that I'm saying this is an old video.
Yes. That was the difference.
But it's beautiful. And I'd like to advise even yourself and the people that are listening. Record a message to your older self. You can even speak to 10 years from now, older self, you know, write a note or write something that you're going to be able to access later. The easiest is a video to speak to your older self and whatever you might want to say to your older self. So for me, it was inspired by that. Like whatever I wanted to say to my older self, I thought, let me just take the opportunity of my 40th birthday to speak to my 45-year-old self.
Yeah. Absolutely. I definitely am a person who writes, but I think video, I think it brings a different perspective altogether. But we'll get into the writing aspect of things a little bit later.
Yes, ma'am.
But I did want you to reflect on that journey still. How would you describe just the evolution of your career, your life, and where it is today? You spoke about just the fact that right now we're describing you as a businessman and all these things, a father. How would you describe your journey up until now at 45?
It's incredible. Okay. It's filled with growth. It's filled with humility. Mm. It's filled with appreciation of life daily. I find myself telling as many people as possible daily that I love them. You know, even people that I greet, even if they're guys, they're younger, they're older, they're my son, like, your boy, you know, I'm wishing you well, I pray for you. I find myself being grateful of just being alive. I find myself gravitating towards being more and more of a family man. I find myself being more aligned, you know, wanting to find out even more about my history, my lineage, my culture, you know. Self-tav, that's what you guys call it.
Yeah.
You know, working on my self-tav on a daily basis. But I just find that life is more calmer the older you become. That's why, you know, people would say life begins at 40. I guess they talk about maturity. Mm. A lot of the things that I did maybe 10 years ago, the way I did them, I look at myself now, I'm like, I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't do that, you know. But a younger version of me did that, you know. So it does show that, and especially people like us who grew up in the public eye, it's easier to track your growth because there's just all these videos everywhere. Things you did 10 years ago, things you did 7 years ago, five years ago, etc. They keep following you. But I'm at peace. I'm at a very good space, and I'm just grateful to be alive, man. And things that mattered to me maybe a decade ago are not the same things that matter to me now anymore. You know, I mean, I remember I was more driven by materialistic things.
Yes.
I was driven by money. I was driven by wanting to be wealthy, wanting to be rich, wanting to wear designer clothes, travel the world, all of that stuff, which is good, which everybody should aspire to be. But as older as I've become and as wiser as I am becoming, I'm understanding that life is much more than just chasing money, wanting to be rich, wanting to acquire materialistic things, etc. Although I do know that young people would beg to differ and be like, all of you, when you get money, you start saying money is overrated because now you have it.
Money is not happiness. No, but I think the point that you're making is it's another thing to chase, you know, to have goals rather, but to make them rule your life is a different thing. I think right now, especially when you look at just the culture of, you know, even just Gucci bags and what it is, it's more like it kind of rules your life. You kind of feel bad if you're not wearing like a Gucci thing. It's almost like it definitely dictates, I feel, as a younger person, from my perspective, that's how I look at it, that it's another thing to, you know, go for your goals, but don't let them rule over you because there's more.
Yeah, I mean,
beyond that.
Like things like family.
Yes.
When they say family first, when they say family matters the most, when you're young, you're all about chasing your career, chasing your dream, climbing the ladder, you know, becoming successful. Sometimes you even attain, you know, those blessings. But sometimes you are not that much of a family-orientated person when you're young. But the older you become, you actually understand that that is the most important thing than anything.
Yeah.
And love, vibrating high, finding God, knowing God, learning about God, learning more about yourself, showing the people that you care about more love, being present. If you're a parent, being present for your children, telling the people that are around you that you care about them, being grateful for waking up every morning, the air that we breathe, and even your goals, even as far as business is concerned, your dreams are even bigger than just you wanting success for yourself and your family. You understand that it's bigger than you.
Okay.
You know, it's about community, society. It's about giving back. It's about leaving the world better off than you found it.
Yeah.
And all of that. So that also, that all comes with wisdom. That all comes with growing up.
Yeah. I want to hone in on just the different elements that make up DJ's Boo. And radio presenting would be quite, for me, a prolific one. And you mentioned earlier that there are certain things that a younger version of you was doing, and you definitely laud him for that, but you wouldn't have necessarily done those things today. An infamous moment being the MoFire moment, those kinds of decisions.
Yeah.
Those kinds of decisions. Take me through just that radio career, and maybe those, not mistakes, or maybe regrets, not when you look back, maybe things that you wouldn't have actually done, some things that you would have been like, maybe you wish, as an older self, as an older you, you would have rather, you know, done better.
Yeah. So, when you're young, you're full of energy. I mean, I've heard, before I answer the question, I've heard stories of political leaders talk about a younger version of the late great Ntate Rholihlahla Nelson Mandela.
Yes.
May soul rest in peace. One of the greatest men to have ever lived on this earth. But they're saying if you had encountered a younger version of himself, of him, you would swear that this is a different man than this man that we hail as, you know, the greatest man to have ever lived. His younger vision apparently was more brash. He was more aggressive.
Yeah.
As much as he was intelligent and he was a comrade and a struggle hero, but he was more, you know, when you're young, you're full of energy, you're full of life. And it does happen that you become like that. So I can relate to when I hear such stories about Utata. And the older Tata that we all knew was like a calm man. He was a statesman. You know, he became our president. And he was just this man full of wisdom. And when we read his quotes or when we listen to his speeches, it was just this amazing, intelligent man that seems so different from this younger person that they tell us that he was.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that I'm finding with myself. Young as I still am, I mean, 45, I'm still fairly young. But I can see the growth from the broadcasting side and from the entertainment side in my career. The way I moved when I was young, I can never say I would regret having done anything.
Absolutely.
I'm glad that I went for my dreams. I'm glad that when I was told that I wasn't good enough, I wasn't fluent enough in English, my voice wasn't good enough, I didn't come from my suburb C, I didn't go to Model C schools, or I didn't look the part, I did not fit in, or whichever way I did things was not the right. I'm glad that I had to want to break the cycle and figure out on my own and find out, Guti, how do you become successful? How do I get my dreams to become a reality and go for them wholeheartedly without listening to anyone? I'm glad that I did all of that. But the older version of me looks at the way I did those things, the way that I moved. Remember when you're wiser because you know better, you could have still done things. You could have still achieved the same barking. You could have still arrived to the same answer.
Yeah.
But having moved different. That's why they say older people have got the wisdom and they work, they move smart.
Yes.
As opposed to working too hard, but they work smart, right?
Yes.
They either delegate or they either, you know, how they move, Jay, they move different from how a young person would move. But they would still achieve the same result, if not more or better.
Yes, absolutely.
So for me, that's what I've experienced in my life. So if I look, for instance, at my broadcasting career and me being fired at Metro FM for having advertised MoFire at the Metro FM Music Awards in 2015, my older self says I wouldn't have moved that way. I would have still not jeopardized or messed up my opportunity to be at the SABC. Remember now that I've just come back to the SABC, but I was away for 9 years. I imagine in that 9 years, if I'd moved different, I would still be in that building. And to be in that building of such a huge media machine, I can imagine with the bright mind that I have, what other things I could have achieved even bigger and better, having to be still in that organization without having had to break the rules and do things the way I did them. Right, that's just one example.
Absolutely.
Another example, me being caught speeding and losing sponsorships of favorite car or whatever, this and that. You know, you think of all of the mistakes that you did when you were young. But then a lot of the things you're like, I'm glad that I made those decisions and I learned from them. And I'm glad that I'm still alive to tell the story and I'm still alive to look back and say I would have done it differently.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not a sense of necessarily regret.
Yeah.
But it's a sense of a wiser me, older me, smarter me, more mature me would have done things differently.
Absolutely.
I would have moved differently. Then, which makes me understand why older people move the way they do. And when we are young, sometimes we don't understand certain decisions that they take. One other example that I'll make you is, as I was growing my career and as a hustler that I am, I'd watch rich people And I'll be like, if I was rich, man, I'd be driving Ferraris and Porsches and Bentleys. Like, you see them in a plain Mercedes or like even an old Mercedes or an old BMW or just a basic car. And I'm like, having all of those millions and they roll like this now. And I didn't understand that. But now that I'm getting older, and Nkulunkulu has been great, you know, your dreams sort of do come true with the blessings that you get. You sort of understand why other people are not flashy, why other people would prefer just keeping a low profile, why other people would still be comfortable wearing plain clothes without having to wear famous brands or having to drive German luxurious cars. You know, you sort of have an understanding of why they do that.
Absolutely.
They've got their own reasons, but Nami now, I'm in a space, you know, having been blessed to have walked that path and having had those things and acquired all of that in my youth. It's a different story now. I mean, I still like, you know, the finer things in life and all of that and a great life.
Yes.
But I move differently. It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. I don't seek validation from brands or having to wear branded clothing on my chest and having to go prove that I can buy 10 champagnes or having to want the next latest car or the next latest phone. My kids even laugh at me. Like, Daddy, you're still using a 10-year-old phone. And I mean, look at my phone. Like, I don't, for me, it doesn't matter. As long as I've got the resources to do what I gotta do. Yeah. As long as I wear local brands every day, for instance.
Oh, yes.
I don't, I drive a 19-year-old Mercedes-Benz, an old car. I also drive like an old 323 Dombolo or Mazda 323.
Okay.
You know, once in a while, you know, you gotta pull
up. That's me having to go Google all these cars because I'm not.
Oh, yeah, you can go. Those are old cars. Those are old cars.
Yeah.
And I find young people say, but you are DJs. We are so boring with such an old car.
Yeah.
But then I also understand they are where I used to be.
Yes.
And me now where I am, it's like those things don't matter anymore.
Yes,
and then they're like, but your safety, you need to be in a, you need to pull up, man.
Yeah.
You know, but yes, there are those times where you gotta pull up, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Those are just examples that I'm giving
you. I love
you.
That. Mm-hmm. I love that. Owning your story definitely, I think, is what will almost guarantee growth. Because if you shy away or don't necessarily acknowledge those steps that you've been taking, then you won't be able to understand how to go further, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I'm intentional about growth. I'm intentional about self-love, intentional about wanting to know my God even more, growing my relationship with my God. I'm intentional about seeking and searching for my family tree.
Yes.
I'm intentional about my parenting as well. I'm intentional about, you know, being a leader in my space. I'm intentional about each and everything that I do. So I don't just do things in jail. All the way down to playing with my kids. I don't just run around just rough in jail. I know that I'm over 40. So I'm a dolo mele sometimes.
Come on.
So everything that I do, I'm always intentional. Even just leaving the house in jail, just doing things like, I'm not someone who's just like carefree, who's just living life in jail. No. I'm very everything, like I think about it.
Yes.
I think about it before I do anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll definitely get into your being intentional with everything that you do. Definitely want to get into that. That's something that we're going to, but we're still sticking to radio presenting for a second, because we mentioned Metro FM and you leaving that building and your first radio comeback prior to this Radio 2000, prior to podcasting, was Massive Metro.
Oh, yes.
Let's get into that, because that chapter in your life confuses me so much. It has, I'm like, yes, I understand it, but I definitely want to hear it from you.
Yes.
In the sense of, tell me just that move and what's that actual affiliation? Because I recall, like, I even had a stint there, right? That's how I, because I was like, okay, this is my icon. I gotta be.
We worked together at some point. Yes.
Yes. So tell me just the radio station itself and it being established and how that chapter was open exactly.
It started here.
Yes.
In this company. This company is now called Arena Holdings.
Yes.
At some point it was called Tiso Blackstar.
I recall that. At
Before it was called Before it was called Tiso Blackstar, it was Times Media. And they were based in Rosebank at a street called Birman. Just right next to Virgin Active, next to the Rosebank the Furs. Just behind there's a Rosebank taxi rank there. That's where this company was. And I remember speaking to a gentleman by the name of Mr. Ferdinand Mabalane, who was at the time managing some of your radio stations. I think at the time you guys owned Vuma FM, Rise FM, and I think you owned some station also in the northern part of the continent. I don't know if it's in Ghana or somewhere there.
Okay.
I also know that you guys were buying, or you're in the process of buying, Northwest FM. And you guys obviously had this division, the TV division, Ignition TV, Business Day TV.
Yes.
You know, you had all these TV properties. And you guys also had the newspapers. You had the Sowetan, Business Day.
Yep.
You had Sunday Times, etc. Times Live, right? Times Media. Times Live, yeah, because you were Times Media.
Yes, yes.
So I was out of radio after having been fired at the SABC. I knew that I wasn't fired because I didn't have the talent to broadcast anymore. I still had it in me to broadcast and give a good show, but I needed a platform. So I wanted to create a platform. And as an entrepreneur that I was, I had the idea, wanted to create a platform, but I didn't have the money. Had a couple of offers from other platforms, which I didn't take at the time because entrepreneurially my spirit was saying, start your own thing, start your own thing, bro, you know? And at the time, the internet wasn't as big as it is now in South Africa, or as it's becoming. So this, we're talking 2016.
Yeah.
So 2016, is it Vernon? I forgot one of the gentlemen's name who worked here in this building, who was so welcoming and amazing, where we had a conversation around building a DJ Smoo breakfast show that stands on its own. And so the call, at first I was called to be hired at one of your radio stations.
Yes. Okay.
But my idea was, it was not the first offer for me to be on radio. So I wasn't like, I'm going to just jump at the opportunity.
Yes.
I wanted something bigger and better.
Absolutely.
So I was like, why don't we build the DJ Smoo breakfast show as its own entity? And then let's syndicate the show.
Yes.
And I remember at the time, it was the early days of me watching either Breakfast Club, syndicated radio show.
Yes, yes.
So then the deal happened.
Mm.
So the breakfast show would be syndicated to Vuma FM in KZN, syndicated to Mpumalanga for the Rise FM, to the Mpumalanga market.
Yes.
And at the time, you guys were working on buying Northwest FM. So we're also going to
integrate that as well. And
we'd also integrate some community radio stations, a radio station that began my career, Voice of Tembisa. And we're also going to broadcast online on Sowetan Live. And we're going to use the sales team from Times Media to sell the DJ Smoo breakfast.
Yes.
And
okay.
As we make the profits, we will share the profits as Times Media and my company, Leadership 2020.
Yeah.
And you guys would finance it. So
yes,
you'd pay for my team, you'd pay for my videographers, my technical producer, my content producer. You would pay for my co-host. You'd also pay me a monthly fee to broadcast this show. But then we would then collectively, with your sales team, sell this show. We'll sell it as if it's a radio station, but it's just a single show.
Yes.
And that was a success for about a year.
Sweet deal, yeah.
Yeah, and as that was happening, one of your clients was a company called Massive Media. Media, they do screens in taxis. They've got even huge screens in taxi ranks.
Yeah.
And they were working on putting in Wi-Fi in taxi ranks.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I got introduced to the owner of that company, a gentleman by the name of Tiff Willemse, an entrepreneur from Cape Town. And my business partner, Mr. Nick Regisford at the time, we started seeing growth of this syndicated radio show that was becoming a success.
Yeah.
Remember, we're broadcasting from the downstairs ground studios in Rosebank.
Yes.
When you would walk in, you would see
you'd
us
see
in this
it.
Glass
yes,
booth.
Yes, yes.
That's where we were.
Yes.
And the show was becoming a success.
Mm.
And now we wanted to grow it onto the internet platform. So when we met Mr. Tiff Willemse, we found out about what they were doing in the taxis. We thought, there's an idea. Why don't we just take this show and we take it to Massive Media? Has got screens on taxis, but they don't have a radio station. Why don't we include a radio product onto the taxis where you guys have got presence in? And you guys are also working on getting Wi-Fi into 20 taxi ranks around Gauteng. Why don't we maximize and take advantage of that Wi-Fi and get streaming devices that go into these taxis, so we've got a captive audience that listens to only us. Then we build this thing to become a radio station, not just a morning show.
Yeah.
So this morning show can become a morning show of an entire radio station. And then we'll get a budget to go look for other talent to then do other slots on this radio station that we're building.
Yeah.
That was the birth of Massive Metro. That's when we went to get Zola 7, Bonkosi, my brother, Sis Celeste Ntuli, Tembisiete. We had Umbali Nkosi, we had Chili Ame, so rest in peace, Vukani Masinga. We had Mkweteza, DJ Fingers. We had all these incredible Absolutely. Broadcasters.
Yes.
Brought them on board, started the radio station, started hiring young people. And that's how Massive Metro started. So we migrated from being just a syndicated radio show at Times Media into a online radio station that exists in 1,000 taxis in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
The difficulty started when... the market at the time was not ready for internet or for internet broadcasting.
Yes. Okay.
Podcasting at the time was still sort of starting, but it wasn't as what it is now.
Yes.
You know, and so we would create content, we'd have young people videograph it, would put it out online, would struggle to get numbers because the internet penetration wasn't as big as it is now. And Massive Media funded the radio station. I didn't have the money.
So
an entrepreneur, you can have the idea.
Yes.
If you've got the resources, you can go get other people who've got the money to come help you bring this thing to life. And then when you can leverage and say, this is what I bring to the table. So Tina, what we were bringing to the table was a media experience, our radio experience. And also me being, you know, you can call me a brand. At the time, we leveraged off of that. And they saw the vision and they bought into the idea. And I'm forever grateful to Tiff Willemse for that. And that's why I'm always grateful to this company for that as well. For seeing my vision as somebody who had been fired out of the SABC to sort of want to work with me and build something together. The sad thing that happened was, advertising wasn't as big also online.
Yes, that's true.
A lot of people didn't see what we were doing. We would get some clients here and there who would do activations in taxi ranks, who would advertise with us even online. But it wasn't as, you know, the amount of campaign marketing budgets that they spend on mainstream media. But COVID-19 came. When COVID-19 came, or let me say, just before COVID-19 came, the amount of money that Massive Media invested onto our onto the Massive Metro platform was not enough because the bill salaries alone were crazy,
and we got big names also affiliated. So come on,
and we paid everybody well. We really paid everyone well. And we had to go to a company called Business Partners. They fund small startups. They fund small businesses. And we got funded for a couple of millions, you know? But it was a loan. It's not that you get funded, it's yours. It's not a government institution. It's
yes. So
that's how they make their money as well, by helping businesses
get
off the ground. And they gave us money, and we're responsible with that money, but the advertising amount of money that we're making monthly was not enough to keep the lights on longer. But we kind of felt, we see where this thing is going. It's going to keep on growing and get bigger. This podcasting internet thing will get bigger with time. Advertisers will spend more. Let's keep this thing going. Let's keep this thing going. 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. Lockdown hits. Lockdown hits, advertising companies stop. Nobody's bringing in a single cent. The salaries that we're paying are high. The money that we had been borrowed by Business Partners over the couple of years was sort of running out. We could not afford to keep the lights on. We kept on going for a couple of months. We stopped taking salaries as the management team of the station. Sadly, we could not keep going. The money was still not enough. We had to halve our team staff. At some point, some of the guys who worked there, they would know. Then the staff started getting lesser and lesser. We even moved from where we're broadcasting from to smaller studios because we could not afford a lot of things. A lot of companies struggled during COVID. That's what happened to us. So we ran out of money. We could not pay anymore. There was no advertising money anymore. And then sadly, unfortunately, in business, at some point, you have to make those difficult decisions to cut your losses. And for me, the sad thing was it's something that I love, something I'm passionate about. I love radio. And we created this amazing family at Massive Metro, this business that we knew that this thing was still going to work. But COVID-19, Kanti, we didn't know COVID-19 as it happens and it's shutting down our business. Kanti, that's the time South Africa comes to the internet.
Absolutely.
The internet started blowing up just after we had to stop Massive Metro, the radio side.
Yes.
But Massive Media still continues. The guys are doing well. The company continues. It's still ran by Mr. Tip Vellum, so whom I'll forever be grateful for. But obviously, we had a debt with business partners, Ngapa.
Yes.
And then Ngapa, you obviously can't continue. Also can't pay your employees anymore.
Mm.
And Nami, as a businessman, I had a... you can call it a failed project.
Okay.
Which, you know, you learn from.
Yes.
That's why I evolved into rather starting a podcast.
Yes, yes. And and you mentioned obviously, like, during COVID-19, that's when a lot of people realized that, okay, the internet is a place to really make something or make a name for yourself. And that's an era where the Hustler's Corner was also birthed.
Born, yeah.
Tell me about that aspect or that chapter of your life as well. Because right now we're looking at the Hustler's Corner being affiliated with Revolt, which is quite huge. That is huge on its own. But tell me about that, navigating that space as well.
So around that time, then podcasts are starting in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, the pioneer at the time, it's McG.
Yeah.
Who's doing incredible work. But we're already, you can call us, you know, we used to call ourselves a content creation hub as Massive Metro, as much as we're on online radio station.
Yeah.
Right. So we're already, you can still call us podcasts. We're already podcasting, but radio format, like. You know, if we always feel like we're so ahead of our time with Massive Metro. And if only we could have held on for a little bit longer, we had a little bit more money to keep us going just for another year. You know, we could be speaking a different story today. But sadly, unkulunkulu, you know, the way things happen, happen. But as also a fighter or a hustler or an entrepreneur, you cut your losses, you make those difficult decisions, you take your L, you get up, you dust yourself, and then you see how do you evolve. So for me, I knew that I still yearned to keep on broadcasting. So even though we are moving on from Massive Metro, I need to keep broadcasting. I love broadcasting, man.
Yes.
That's why then the birth of the podcast.
Absolutely.
I was like, let me create a podcast for hustlers,
young,
old, different industries. Let's just have this platform where people get inspired by these different stories from other hustlers. That was the born of the podcast, the birth of the podcast. Started growing the podcast, started putting my time in there, committing myself, applying myself, recording episodes every week, putting them out consistently. And and then we just started seeing podcasts blowing up left and right in the country. And then at some point, actually, before I started Hustler's Corner, I started having meetings with McG.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, people don't know that we were meant to, but in podcast and chill, we were meant to
Do it together.
Yeah.
Hectic.
We were meant to do it together, me and McG. Yeah.
Okay. And then what happened? That would have been dope.
It would have been dope.
Yeah. Have
been, but I'm glad that we didn't. Because
I
don't think it would have been as successful as it is today.
Okay.
You know, but I'm also glad and I'm very grateful of McG and what he's been able to build and what he's achieved. It's exactly everything we spoke about when he started it. So go to the old first episode.
Yes, where you
of Podcast and Chill.
Yeah, your interview with him.
Is with McG,
around that
time. You'll see the things that I'm saying there. I'm already giving him game about growing that platform, what he must do, how he must apply himself, how consistent he must be, and all of those things.
Even
other episodes where I ended up featuring on Podcast and Chill a year later and another. I think I've got about 4 episodes on Podcast and Chill. If you go watch all of them, you'll understand how early it was. And I think, you know, I don't like calling myself a celebrity, but I believe I was his first 100,000 views. I was his first celebrity guest in a way. But
you're quite a renowned person, though. That's the thing. You're very much renowned and you bring numbers. We wouldn't have brought you here.
No, but it was great. It was great to see what McG was starting.
Yes, yes.
But I think the interview that they even speak about that literally went viral, that blew up Podcast and Show as a DJ Zintler interview.
Yes.
But
I
do know that mine also played a very big role.
It definitely
in
did.
In giving them confidence.
Without a doubt.
That they must continue with this thing.
Absolutely.
I think I was the first 100,000 views and they were like, wow, like type of thing. And I think he did it with Len Moleko at the time. So me and McG go way back. So we go from YFM days. When I used to do the morning show at Y69, he used to do the show before me. So when we hand over each other, we always used to chat, even on gigs on weekends. So we had a sort of a brotherhood relationship all the way until today. So that was pretty much the birth of Hustler's Corner and the podcasting career. And that has just grown into, I mean, we're almost hitting 300,000 subscribers now with the podcast.
Absolutely.
It's grown, yeah.
Let me ask, that sync with Revolt right now, what exactly has it maybe brought or changed for the Hustler's Corner? What exactly is that affiliation anyway?
So the affiliation is the company wanted to focus on the African content.
Oh, yes.
They wanted to focus on the African viewer, the African audiences. Mm. And at the time at which we were growing and the type of conversations that we're having, we somehow, you know, landed in some ears and in some eyes overseas. And as somebody, Mina, who travels to the US quite often and who knows some people.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I do know some people. And some things happened where, you know, they wanted interest on partnering and collaborating and doing something incredible together, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
We collaborated, we signed the contract.
Mm.
But to this day, I still have not delivered a single episode.
Oh.
So it's now about almost a year later. Maybe it's now it's 8-9 months later.
Okay.
Since we did our revolt deal and agreement.
Yeah.
So it was not stipulated as to when I'm supposed to deliver the episode.
Oh, okay.
But the excitement after we did the deal, we thought, you know, I was going to deliver immediately. I still have not delivered.
Why is that?
I guess maybe it's because of how I want to do and how I want to do those episodes, what type of episodes I want to, what type of conversations I want to have, and how I also would like, how I would like for us to be seen by the American audience. I'm the one who's slacking. But them, every time we speak, like every other month, to be like, yo, Mr. Spoo, you're still interested in this deal, right? So when are you delivering? I'm like, no, give me some time, give me some time. And now it's become almost a year. But the relationship is still open.
Yes.
I will deliver very soon. And then I also start getting some people who are like, Revolt is affiliated with P. Diddy.
Yes.
The things that are happening with Mr. Combs overseas, what's going on? Are you guys? I'm like, no, he's had to disassociate himself from all his companies.
I mean, that's a big platform. It also has like, what is this, the Breakfast Club. That's still Revolt, isn't it?
So the Breakfast Club does not fall under Revolt. It falls under a company called iHeartRadio.
Oh, okay.
But it was broadcasted also on Revolt. Just like Drink Champs, just like the Joe Budden podcast.
Yes.
And now some of them, they've gone on to be on their own, but they pretty much built themselves on the Revolt platform. Nami, it's the same thing. But when I do start delivering, I'm going to make sure that I make all of you all proud.
Have you met P. Diddy, by the way, since you dropped the name?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, I haven't. I think over the years, a lot of us, we've all looked up to him as an incredible businessman. He's been a very big part or a big figure in the hip hop space over the years. I mean, about Diddy, about Russell Simmons, about Jay-Z and them showed us and gave us game that we can use our artistry as a form of branding ourselves and forming business for ourselves and creating employment.
Yes.
And, you know, becoming company owners, etc. Especially a person like Jay-Z, who also shares the wisdom on his songs. You know, those are people we've been looking up to all these years. So when an opportunity came to partner with Revolt, very excited. I still am even now. And I'm glad that slowly there is that bridge that is starting to happen between the American or African-American brothers and sisters in the diaspora with us here at home. You can see it online. You can see it on podcasts. You can see these little collaborations that are happening. But you can also start seeing that they're starting to see Africa in a different light, because all along they were blocked from the world. And they were made to believe that there's just kids running around with flies on their faces, there's lions coming. But now they can see Guti, we are as dope as they are. They can see our highways, they can see how we are, you know, the types of lives that we're seeing, that we're living. They can see that actually we are pretty much almost on par as they are.
Absolutely.
I still want to take advantage of that relationship, but I would also understand if maybe they want to end the contract, because I still have not delivered. But those things happen in life. Life happens sometimes.
I mean, you do have a busy schedule. Fast forwarding to your radio comeback now, being back into the big media building, which you spoke about earlier with Radio 2000. For signing that contract, I mean, people were like, you're a sellout and all of that. How long did it take you to even make that decision? Let me like sign, I'm in, post it.
I made the decision before they even called me, and I knew that they were going to call me. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
I just did not know that it'll be Radio 2000.
Oh,
but I knew that at some point, there's certain people that don't come around in this lifetime. Okay. I don't want to sound arrogant.
Okay.
It comes from the most humblest place.
Yes.
I know
that
I'm one of those beings and one of those voices and one of those individuals that do matter to especially young South Africans. And I do know that a voice like mine, you remember earlier on I told you about, as you start getting older, you start understanding that it's bigger than just you. It's bigger than just materialistic things. It's bigger than just money, right? The bigger picture says the public broadcaster is public broadcaster. That's what it is. It's the public broadcaster.
Yes.
For umphakathi.
Yeah, yeah.
So voices like mine are needed in those types of platforms.
Absolutely.
Why are they needed? Because I'm somebody who pushes positivity. I'm somebody who's lived positivity. Mm. I'm somebody who inspires young people. I write books. Mm. I'm somebody who, when a lot of young people look at me, the first thing that comes to mind is inspiration, mm-hmm. right? So people like that, you need them speaking to society. You need them speaking to young people. You need them on mainstream platforms. So I knew, with that being said, but also with my capabilities and, you know, my rough around the edges, raw kasi talent, I've always known that at some point I'm going to end up back on mainstream media.
Okay.
But I didn't know when the opportunity comes, whether I would say yes to it.
Okay.
And I also didn't know when the opportunity comes, would it come from the TV side or the radio side? And if it does come from the radio side, I didn't know what station it would be.
Yes.
In my mind, I thought either Ukhozi or Metro FM.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
But in my mind, I also challenged myself. I was like, what if Morning Live calls and it wants you to become this political figure who broadcasts serious type of presentation?
Yeah.
Or what if you get called by SAFM where it's talk radio? Can you do talk radio? I can do anything.
Yes.
I can evolve and become anything.
Yeah.
I always challenge myself to become better.
Lovely.
Right? But I've always known that that call would come. So much so that when it came from the same person who had fired me.
Hectic. Who was
Mr.
that?
Tony Soglo.
Come on.
Shout out to Tony. When he called me, we both laughed.
Okay.
And the first thing I said to him, I was like, what took you so long, bro? And he laughed. And it was already a yes, but it was a matter of, let's have a conversation around the commercials.
Mm.
Does it make sense commercially?
Yes.
Does it, and not necessarily that it's about money. The money is not even nowhere near to you know, what people would expect. I'm probably getting paid. People of my caliber overseas, they get multi-million rands or dollars of broadcasting contracts.
Yeah.
Not in South Africa.
Yeah.
And not especially now with the SABC. SABC is not making money, but it's a public broadcaster.
Mm.
So I'm back there to give back. I'm back there to serve the organization. I'm back there to be a voice that speaks to young people daily.
Mm.
I'm also back there to also grow my brand. I love being on radio. I'm back there to practice my passion of broadcasting.
Lovely.
I love radio. It's all I know. It's all what I've ever done. And every other thing or other success that I've gotten, it's because of radio. I come from community radio, campus radio, regional radio, ALS radio. You can name it. Like I climbed up the ladder in the radio industry that I've worked for almost 10 radio stations, built my own radio station, had my mistakes. I learned, fell down, dusted myself off. And I currently hold world record for the longest music radio show in the world. So I've paid my dues in the radio space. So I know radio inside out. It's what I do. It's my life. So I can never say no to an opportunity like that. And also, when I took up that opportunity, I also got a lot of my younger followers being mad at me because they say, "When are you been preaching ownership and entrepreneurship all along? But all of a sudden, there you are. There you go. You go take up a job at the SABC." But then when they look at the job, they're looking at a job like a 9-to-5.
Yes.
A radio job is, I mean, what time is it now? It's 10 in the morning. Like, I'm from my radio show.
Mm.
People are only studying now. Sevens. I mean, I'm done for the day.
Come on.
You know, I've been up since 3 in the
morning.
At 9,
yes.
I'm already done.
Mm.
So it's not a job that, a typical job that person, an ordinary person who works hard as a South African would think it is, where you knock, you wake up in the morning, the same time that I wake up at, you go Kibeli transport, you Kibeli another transport to get to work at 8 or at 7, to start working at 9, to chaisa at 5, to still go back to that. It's not that type of a job.
Yeah.
You know, it's a job that also, something that I've done all of my life, and I can do it with my eyes closed, but I'm always humble enough to want to learn and become better at it.
Yeah.
And it's also not something that takes up my whole day.
Yes.
And I'm also an independent contractor. And even if maybe, let's say, I'm an employee or you'd like to call me that, I'm proud of being that because I'm also humble enough to serve other people's organizations because I've got people who work in my organization.
Yes.
So I can also be a good, if you want to call me an employee, I can also be a good employee.
Come on.
But still be a leader in me being employed and still deliver a good job in what I do.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why I took up the opportunity.
Yeah. Tell me, wait, let's go back to that phone call. When he said, okay, I want you to come back, what was the thought process for him? Did he tell you why he wanted you to come back? Was there like a demand? What was the conversation behind that?
When he asked me to come back, I... We laughed about it. Yes. You see, the thing is, it's not like the last time I'd seen him was 2015. Because over the years, we had bumped into each other with Tony.
Yeah.
And there was no bad blood. Mm. He's an incredible gentleman, by the way.
Yes, okay.
And he had also supported some of the initiatives that I've done over the years, even though I was out of Metro. It's not like now we're enemies because he fired me.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that I had messed up.
Okay. Right?
It was my youthful entrepreneurial prowess of being frustrated. You know how young entrepreneurs are frustrated in this country. You know, we feel we need to be supported more by government. You know, we feel we end up doing things that eventually end up becoming either detrimental to our own careers or our reputation. But it's because of that youthful frustration. And sort of, so we so, you know, we sort of understood that. Nami, I also understood from my side, it wasn't personal. That's why even when I left, I never left bad blood. I even share about these types of teachings with my younger audiences to say, you know, don't burn bridges.
Yes.
You must always leave room for a relationship that one day you might just want to come back in that environment. Or you never know where people are going to be in the future. Like, don't burn your bridges.
Yeah.
And that's that was the case with me and Tony. So there had been a conversation before, like, if you were, would you be interested type of thing? Right, yeah. Okay. And I mean, I'd done multiple videos on my YouTube also to say, I miss the SABC, I miss mainstream media.
If
I were to be called back.
Yes, you know, like I'd
already, there were hints and there. Actually, I was already telling them, good day, guys, I'm now ready.
I'm ready,
it's now 10 years, come on, type of thing, you know, and I miss radio.
Okay.
It's what I love and it's what I know with all of my life.
You mentioned that this radio comeback is more of you giving back. What do you mean by that? I mean, you're definitely getting paid. and there's the conversation around you know, radio salaries right now, and obviously we mentioned that the public broadcaster doesn't, it's not necessarily making like a lot of money like that, but you're not getting a 2.8.
but let me tell you, man, how do I put it, most, even the big broadcasters on radio globally, most of us, we don't make our money by the salary that we get from the employer or the owner of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
The most monies come from the opportunities that are brought by us being on air.
Yes.
I don't know if you know
I get you.
So somebody who's got a mindset that looks at the check and the salary as it is, what you say it is, because you see it that way and that's fine.
Yeah.
But me, I don't see it that way. I know that just by being on air, I'm immediately getting emails of, hey, come and speak at my seminar.
Yes,
come
yes.
and DJ at my gig. Come and come and come and. And in a month, how many of those bookings do I get? So it's easy for you to look at it as, yes, the salary still has to be good because you're getting paid for that service. But because it's your voice out there, do you know how much is a 30-second ad on those platforms? It's expensive. But your voice is there for 3 hours.
Come on.
So as much as you're promoting all these brands and you're creating a radio show and you're empowering the audience and you're advertising these brands and you're doing live reads and, you know, pushing your customers, but you're also benefiting indirectly.
Absolutely.
Because people are hearing your voice every day.
Affiliated with the big brand.
Yes. And you are speaking to millions of people, the whole country. And it is different. It's mainstream media.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that come are different. Like, I've been hardly there for 2 months.
Mm.
Like, already things that I'm up to because I've been on air and I'm back on mainstream are like way bigger than the check that I could have said, no, if you're not paying me this, I'm not taking this opportunity.
Yeah,
so I could have said no to those opportunities that come by me being on air. I don't know if you understand, if I'm making any
sense.
No,
I definitely hear you.
Yeah, so Mina, that's how I looked at it. But yes, even the check that comes from the station, it's not 2.8.
It's not 2.8.
I mean, come on, after all, I'm DJ Smooth.
Can you imagine?
Come on, I've worked hard.
Okay. I don't want to get into that bank balance. I don't know if I can name the zeros.
It's not crazy money, but but you see, they say, emhlabeni, we are now what you're content with.
Yes, we are.
I always also say to people, it is what you make it to be.
Yes.
If you just want to be a DJ who just gets that check and you rely on it from the station, you don't want to do any outside opportunities, that's also you. There's also jocks like that.
But make the most of the opportunity.
But I mean, I'm one of those people that I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So just by being on air, you know, the byproduct or the opportunities that come by being on air, cheese, man. It's hardly 2 months. I can imagine after I've been there for 2 years, how much more money I could have made outside of the SABC or outside of Radio 2000.
So we know obviously the SABC has the radio park and then there's a TV park. And you've mentioned or suggested that you might be doing a TV comeback at some point. Is it in that building?
I am. That's what I mean. You see, this is what I mean when I say once you're back on mainstream, on the radio, those types of opportunities start bringing themselves too. So if you're somebody, or let me put it this way with no disrespect to anyone, if you're an idiot, you would get a radio call from the SABC, even though you're an entrepreneur, you would get a call from the SABC offering you a mainstream morning show to speak to the whole country daily. Something you're already doing every day for free anyway on TikTok and on your podcast. You're already doing this thing. But we are saying, come do it for 3 hours a day from Monday to Friday for us on this platform.
Yeah.
You would say no to it if you're an idiot. But who says no to such an opportunity?
Absolutely.
An opportunity to impact lives. An opportunity to speak to 2 million people daily. To make people laugh, to inform people, to educate people, to reach out to South Africans. And automatically also your brand grows and it brings in other opportunities. Remember, I'm a media person. I'm a personality.
Yeah.
Also, when you're when you're no longer in mainstream media, your brand on its own sort of declines as well. You don't get as many gigs as well. You don't get as many opportunities, etc. So TV is in the works. We're working on something that might be should be launching maybe say first quarter of 2025.
Okay.
But there's also other offers that are coming from. So how the SABC works is. It's not the SABC mostly that gives you a TV job or opportunity. The opportunities come from the production companies, you can call them suppliers, that create these shows and they sell them to either the SABC or DSTV or other or Netflix or other platforms. So yes, I'm already starting to get other opportunities. Hey, let's do a reality show. Hey, let's do a documentary. Hey, I think you can present this TV show well. You know what I mean? Like, I'm starting to get those calls, those emails. Hardly 2 months of being on that Radio 2000 microphone.
Absolutely.
So I'm still an entrepreneur in my mindset, as much as the public broadcast is about giving back. I knew that that would happen. I knew by being on mainstream media, other opportunities come automatically, because that's what has happened in my life. And I also knew that I wanted to own my story and fix that part of the story, because it wouldn't have been great for South Africans, even in future generations, always talk about the success of Mo Fire without the SABC. He was fired there. Hey, he still succeeded anyway. For me, I'm not driven by ego. And it's not an I, me.
Yes.
There's never an I in team. It's incredible, amazing people behind this brand that I work with who are making this brand to become what it's becoming. But I don't also want a narrative forever, even after I've passed on from this earth. I don't want a story that says, yeah, he still could make it without there. I don't want that. I also saw an opportunity to fix that story.
Yes.
To be like, as a public broadcaster, whatever happened, happened in the past.
Yeah.
And it wasn't their fault. It was me. I was young and dumb, but I thought I was smart. But yes, it doesn't mean that because it worked for me, now this is the message I'm sending to young people, who they must rebel against their employers and break the rules. And yes, I did. But I'm one of the lucky few that has had a second chance to come back and still get this mainstream opportunity at my age. That's why I'm writing a new book. I'm working on new music. I'm getting calls for TV shows. I'm working on an upcoming TV show. I'm hosting a national morning show. You know, like, my life is just, I always even say to other people, I say to other people, ukuvuka komuntu into encane. I'm not saying to become successful is easy, but I say there's a lot of hard work that happens behind the scenes for that one breakthrough in life. And when that breakthrough happens, that's the moment that ngesikazi sithi ukuvuka komuntu into encane. You'll put in the work, you'll be consistent, you'll keep on going and going, but when your breakthrough comes and it's your time to shine, ukuvuka komuntu into encane. And I feel that is what is happening to me now. And I take it as God is giving me another second chance to even become a better personality than I was before.
Yeah. I don't know if I could call it a second chance. I think you have 9 lives, 10,000 lives. Your comebacks have been strong, and they keep on coming. I definitely want to get into the music element. Wait, before I let go of TV, so you're not going to drop us a hint as to...
No, I won't.
Okay.
Yeah, because no contracts have been signed yet, and we're still in talks.
Okay.
And if I do, I'm going to jeopardize whatever we're talking about.
Absolutely.
It's like radio.
Yeah.
If you can tell people prematurely where you're going on radio, remember that job that you're going to is currently being held by somebody else. So now you're already giving them problems. And now even that talent that is there currently hosting, it's like, how? Type of thing. So sometimes maybe the younger me could have been like, this is what's coming up.
Yeah.
This is what I'm... But an older me, think about those types of things.
Don't
jeopardize
opportunity. Yeah. Great stuff. But when that opportunity does, once you sign the dotted line, I'm gonna let you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I promise you, I'm gonna deliver you guys great television.
Mm.
And I'm even gonna be a better person, better presenter than I was on Friends Like These.
Come on. Mm. Ooh, that's almost like a hint, but I'm just grabbing whatever.
I didn't say Friends Like
yes,
These.
Yes, something. It could be a game show. It could be, you know. Well, we'll hear about that as when the time comes. But
yeah.
Moving on to music, because you have been doing music for so long and you're still releasing music till this day, which is great and amazing. But there was a stint where you also let go of like DJing and then you came back again. Tell me about that decision or transitioned into letting go, focusing on business and getting back into the music space. And how did you relearn that again?
You know, when you started Mofi, I didn't think it would become the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. It became frustrating. It needed me to not just be the personality that I was anymore. It needed me to be involved with the business, with my business partners, Pew, and grow this thing and the work that we were doing.
Mm.
It demanded so much off of me that I had to let go of making music, putting out music and DJing, etc. It's only now that now because you're on radio, now people are hearing you, you're working with music, you're playing people's songs,
yes,
you're interacting with musicians, you're back in the industry. People call it being back in the game.
Mm.
By default, you know, producers are like, yo, let's work. I mean, just last night, I haven't slept tonight. I was in studio with Black Motion, for instance.
Come on
we're
now.
Making music with Black Motion at their studios in Centurion.
Mm.
Type of thing, right? Last week I was recording, working on a new album. So, because now I'm back in the game. I'm in the industry.
Come on.
So I'm in these circles. I'm meeting musicians. Mm. I'm in these media spaces. Now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this big building. So because I'm in the space now, it's yazenzakalela. You know, and also no more uthi sekuyisikhathi se right.
Absolutely.
So now you can work. So once. Over the past 10 years that I have not released any album, I would just sort of drop a song here and there.
Mm.
Maybe one song after 2 years, or one song in a year, here and there, because I love music.
Yes.
But now that I'm back in the space, it does call for an album.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I'm telling you right now and more will be coming in a form of my new book, which is called Born for Purpose.
Come on.
I'm releasing that for the summer.
Mm.
And that's going to come out simultaneously with the music album.
Okay.
So people need to understand all of this that I'm explaining to you.
Okay.
Because some moves that I would make, people would not understand, especially people who've been following my work for a while. Like, why is he hugging trees now? Why is he letting his hair grow? Like, why is he not shaving?
Okay.
Why would he go back to the SA? You know what I mean? Like, for people that you follow, even yourself, you sort of ask yourself certain things and you don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
And some of these social media platforms, wherever they are, these people, sometimes they don't share. But you wonder, like, why?
Mm.
But also the journey that I've had to go through in terms of seeking my own self-love, you know, and just my own greatness as an African and knowing myself even more. All of that knowledge that I know, I want to go share it in a book. I want to share it with my younger audiences.
Mm.
What is making me become this wise person that I am becoming?
Mm-hmm.
So all of that information is going to be on my upcoming book. And so I'll be doing events. I'll be launches. I'll be doing tours, putting out the music, back in the scene, public speaking. I mean, just this past weekend, I was speaking. This past three weeks, I've been on a tour with Robert Kiyosaki, who's an esteemed real estate entrepreneur, is known globally, highly respected.
Yeah.
You know, I'm now back. I'm touring with Robert Kiyosaki.
Wow.
So I'm pretty much back in the scene.
Yeah.
So music is coming. New book is coming. TV show, radio show. Like, I'm going to be back in your eyes again. Ngizonyanyisa futhi if I won't tand.
Yeah.
But if you aren't tand, uzojabula. Because,
okay,
Ikhrotman selibuyile, but in a different format as a Ikhrotman or as a timer.
Yeah.
As opposed to that young person who was seeking validation, who was crazy about brands, it was about himself, it was about ego and all of that stuff. I'm a wiser man now.
I love that. Let's park the book for a second and the events that we'll definitely speak about that. But still on the music element, I definitely wanted us to touch on the master's aspect of things. I think as a Ikhrotman, we definitely want that knowledge. The conversation of the importance of owning your master's. I mean, we saw you give back master's to...
Lindam Keys, the greatest South African lyricist of all time.
Come on.
Actually, let me rephrase that. The greatest lyricist of all time, because I believe African rappers, they've got a head up over other rappers overseas, because they can only do it in English.
Yeah, oh,
these guys do it in multiple languages.
Yes.
So for me, Pro remains the greatest lyricist of all time.
Lovely.
May his soul rest in peace.
I agree. May his soul rest in peace for sure. With regards to those masters also, why did you decide to give them to him to his family at that specific time. I obviously would imagine it's because they need to have them. But why only at that time?
Because when people get into a boardroom, they make a deal. We agree that we are Arena Holdings. We own Sunday Times Business Day. We are employing you to work for Times Live. You give us your time between 9 and 5. You deliver these deliverables. We pay you this check at the end of the month. You sign the contract. We both agree. And then we're going to stick to that contract. If you don't stick to that contract, there's going to be litigation. It's exactly the same thing that happens in any business. It's the same thing in music as well. So you get into an agreement. The other one is going to bring in their resources, bring in their networks, bring in their connections, bring in their creative prowess, bring in whatever they can bring on the table to play their side of the contract, to make sure that they stick to their side of the contract. Then you're going to bring in your talent now to make sure that you guys both become a success as a collective or as a partnership. When the partnership or when one of us passes away, there are some clauses in these contracts that cover that. And whatever is due to me is due to me based on whatever we agreed upon. Whatever is due to you based on whatever we agreed upon. So for us and my business partner, TK Ngcwiza, to want to give the masters back to the Mkhize family or back to, you know, Pro's family, it was a sign of just good deed. It was from a good place. And we, at some point, I'm also going to die. TK is also going to die. It's Pro's kids right now. It's my children right now. TK's kids are growing up now. So all of us, this generation, are going to pass on. Whatever we signed, because it's in the music and it's in perpetuity, whether we like it or not, binds our children together. So these are the people we're going to leave with the decisions and the contracts that we've agreed upon and we've signed. So those decisions are inspired by those types of things, you know. And also, it does not mean that if I don't give you the masters, I'm a bad guy. No, because I was also part of, I'm also part of making you successful. I played my role according to the contract as we've agreed. You became you became successful. And I also become successful. Like whatever we agreed upon, we made it success. Just the same thing as me and my partners here. We all agreed that this is our common goal. Whatever we agreed upon is to make this thing a success. It's about this thing, it must succeed. Right? And in those contracts that we signed, there's also some clauses that talk about our death. What happens if any one of the partners passes on? You know, is the family allowed to immediately sell partners to other outside potential shareholders or people who want to come and acquire this business? No. Our agreement says, you know, any one of us in this room gets the first opportunity to buy first. And if any one of us is not interested or doesn't buy first from me, only then maybe the family cannot. You know what I mean? Those types of agreement get made when people are still alive. It's the same thing in the music industry. So when I encourage people to get legal people in the room to sign their contracts, that's what happens. Because sometimes in the music industry, especially in entertainment music industry, people get excited. They don't even sign contracts and they get things done. And sadly, the fans outside who love soccer, so Tuki Pirates, Tuki Kaiser Chiefs, Sir Ivan Khoza, Dr. Irvin Khoza, but we actually don't know the contracts that the team has signed with the players. We don't know, we're not privy to the contracts that the record company and the artist have signed together. We don't know the deals that Bonang signed with her agent. We don't know the deals that Sibusiso signed with his business partners at Mofaya. Now if Sibusiso starts coming out on camera now and starts saying, "Hey, Mofaya, bayang khanyela, guys, this company 1-2-3-4-8, automatically my fans are going to side with me and those will tuga my business partners. But they don't know, they're not privy to what we signed on the paper.
I think this is also a little nugget we can throw out there for a lot of young people. A lot of people right now, a lot of young people are moving towards wanting to be TikTokers, musicians, or whatever. Maybe somebody out there should also look into being an entertainment lawyer and getting infiltrating those spaces to educate, you know, upcoming musicians and
as well. Very good point.
And if you're out there, we don't know about you, go online, educate, period. How's your relationship with TK Ngcwiza right now?
I'm so proud of him.
Okay.
I'm proud of him that we met as young boys from Ekurhuleni. You know, we wanted to become successful. We wanted to be great. We wanted to leave a mark, you know, in the world. You know, wanted to make a difference in this country. And just to see his political career rise and rise and rise and see where he is right now as the second citizen of Gauteng inspires me.
Mm.
He's always been a person who cares about people. He's always been somebody who's very good in mobilizing. He's always been very good with people. Is very sharp, is streetwise, he's smart. And just to see where his career in politics is, I'm just always proud of him. Although, I mean, we don't work together anymore.
Yeah.
I'll always have respect for him, and there will always be that brotherhood forever. Because whether I like it or not, we are joined by the hip forever. As I did say, we made history together.
Yes.
So you can never disassociate yourself from somebody that you made history from. Mm. But luckily from our side, we're still in good terms. We get along well.
Okay.
Although we don't work together and see each other every day like we used to back in the day. We've all grown.
Okay.
He wanted to pursue a career in politics.
Mm.
I wanted to pursue a career in business.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. But we kept our brotherhood from a distance. And from time to time, we do communicate to check how life is going, how the kids going. Last week, I was with one of his sons, chatting to him. Yesterday, I was with him over the phone, you know, wishing him well for the elections.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just great to be young, 18, 19, 21, 22, 23 year olds and have these dreams and speak about what you're going to do. You're going to take over the world and look at each other 20 years later to be like, wow, bro, we did it.
Yeah. You know?
And even though you grow apart and you do different things, other people, there's an animosity. But luckily, with me and TK, there is no animosity.
I love that.
There's good vibes, there's good energy, and there's no bad blood at all.
Yeah. I think even though he's in politics, he definitely still has a hand in music because he still owns some masters from some...
Yeah, obviously, he owns Abu Tia's records catalog. Yeah. And catalog Aibole.
So, Robbie Malinga was also part of Tia's records, yeah?
Yeah.
So, what's the chat with that? I know... And Malinga contacted
he owned his own
point.
Company.
Yeah.
But he was a producer that also made music with us.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, and Malinga, I recall she gave me a call, and she's one of the artists who's crying right now on the rights of her music. She's like, I went to Universal and I found that the catalog Yagarobi has been sold. Can you add context to that?
So it's a good thing that when sadly I'm wearing Ricky's t-shirt, may so rest in peace.
Come
Ricky,
on.
We don't die, we multiply.
We multiply.
Shout out to the greatest to ever do it, the great Robbie Malinga.
Yeah.
Thank you for the great memories, Butwami. Thank you for the great years. It was pretty amazing what we created together. We did make history together.
Yeah.
And I look at Ricky's wife and his family and what they're doing with his legacy, what they're doing with Cotton Fest.
Yes.
You know, and now me and my family, those are some of the talks that I'm having with my family to be like, hey, if anything happens one day, you know, guys, be involved because, you know, this as much as it's mine, it's yours. Know how, as much as you're not going to know the ins and outs, you're not in the industry, but at least so you can continue with carrying out the legacy.
Mm.
And I think so for now, a great example would be Ricky's family.
Okay.
And just recently, May, aka Soul, rest in peace. I think they're also doing a good job in also carrying out the legacy.
Yeah.
And same thing with Upra Robi.
Yeah.
You know, you've got his wife who's also carrying out his legacy.
Mm. Which rather fighting for the legacy.
I wouldn't understand when you're saying fighting.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember Usis Anne fighting with me.
No, not fighting with you at all.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, just the catalog.
Oh, I don't remember any fights.
Mm.
Yeah, we're in great terms. I love her to bits as well. Mm. And I highly respect her.
That's exactly what she said about you specifically.
So I don't have any energy that would suggest any fight. Anybody who says that would be wanting to start rumors or would be wanting to chase clout.
No.
That is not true at all.
Yeah.
But TS Records was owned by me and TK. Robbie was not an owner, was not a partner.
Oh.
Just like I would make you an example about Pro.
Yeah.
About any other artist we've ever worked with, same thing.
Okay.
And whatever was agreed upon on Black and White is still being agreed to the way we did on paper. And what I like is that big companies are involved, like Universal, and lawyers are involved. So
absolutely.
any type of maybe understanding as to how things are going, where monies are going, publishing and all of that stuff. Upud Robi owned his own publishing company, which Usis Anne is in charge of.
Yes.
And she speaks to the lawyers, she speaks to Universal.
Yes, I
wouldn't know anything of her fighting with, because I've never heard her fight. I've never heard her say anything about any fights with me. Not unless if
not,
you know
you
know what
yeah.
I you know what I don't know. Yeah.
Mm, yes. Okay. Moving right along to more exciting news, though, that being the podcast festival that you'll be hosting soon, now in June, I think on the 5th.
On the 14th and the 15th of June, Friday and Saturday of June.
Okay.
It's going to be at Empress Palace in Ekurhuleni.
Yes. Let's talk about that. I recall at some point you saying that Uzulu Boy would also come into the podcasting space with you. Did I get that incorrect? I think it was one of...
Oh, you got it correctly.
Yeah.
We did an episode together and he did express sentiments of wanting to podcast.
Yeah.
And I opened up... I'm always like that. I'm like, why don't you podcast?
Yes.
I'm here. I'd like to help you. I'd like to give you advice, give you game, or link you to the people that can help you start your own podcast.
Yes.
I think it was a conversation around along those lines.
Mm.
But I since have not seen him in a while. I think because Zulu Boy is a global citizen.
Yeah.
The next thing is in Amsterdam. Yay. The next thing is in Germany.
Yeah.
The next thing is in America. You know. So I haven't seen my brother Zulu Boy in quite some time. The last time I heard of him, I think it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. I saw him in one of the political parties rallies.
Okay. Mm.
But I think if you were to start a podcast, you would succeed because he's full of knowledge.
Yes.
He is conscious, he's smart, he's talented, and he's got a lot of stories to tell about or to share about the industry.
Mm.
And it's very well spoken.
Yeah.
He's articulate.
Yes.
And he's also very highly rooted in his culture.
I think
a lot of young musicians, a lot of artists.
Yeah.
When you look at not only musicians, there's people like him who are not just a musician. He's a package.
Yeah.
He's everything because he brings his consciousness in it.
Yep.
He brings his knowledge. He brings all of these amazing things and has traveled the world with him. So, I'd still love to do something with Zulu Boy. Yeah.
So he was pick up the phone and call. Maybe you can bring even context to what does the podcast festival, what is it really about? What is really going to be taking place on that day?
The podcasts are pretty much what our great-grandparents used to do, our ancestors used to do in the continent. You know, they used to sit around the fire and they would start a story. You know, and that evolved into... About Deliwe, about Pelokesimpejo, about Doom, about Good is Nice. It evolved into about, you know, all these amazing stories that we've been able to tell. About days of our lives, Bold and the Beautiful have always been big in this country. Why? Because we are a storytelling continent, storytelling nation. We love stories. So I kind of feel that that's what podcasts are.
Yes.
Those around the fire, type of stories have evolved into podcasting,
absolutely,
what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And I believe as much as they're evolving, there is no red tape online, which is great. Somebody can just whip out their phone and podcast.
Yes.
But you also do, especially people who are older, or people who are sort of in the forefront or in leadership of the space. I was one of the first guys to start podcasting.
Mm.
In the country, and as somebody who comes with the broadcasting experience from TV and radio, we kind of thought, why don't we sort of form some sort of a community by starting a podcast festival where younger podcasters can come and learn from established podcasters.
Mm.
Younger podcasters can get an opportunity to come and exhibit their own podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you mix that up with music? Because music works with anything. Young
Absolutely.
People love music.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, as abantu abamnyama, we love music.
Mm-hmm.
Whether sizilile, we are campaigning, we are protesting, we are getting married, sizemngcwabeni, sizile, siyakhala, siyashada. We are always singing. We love music. So why not just take these conversations and mix them with music? And that's why it's called the SA Podcast and Music Festival.
Yes.
So the first day on the 14th is just all about masterclasses, conversations, workshops, podcasting, exhibition. And then on Saturday, it's about music.
Mm.
So we'll have a music masterclass. But the talking and all of that stuff will end early on Saturday.
Mm.
And then it's just performances and DJs, DJ sets. And it's just all about music on Saturday. The Fridays, Kuluming. Saturday, music.
Love
That's
it.
Basically the concept. We want to see it grow.
Yeah.
We want to see if it can help in contributing to the growth of this podcast culture in South Africa.
Okay.
And that's why we started the Podcast and Music Festival.
Let's drop some names. Are your fellow brothers, legendary brothers, Thibaut Touches and Fresh and Are they going to be affiliated or part of this festival in any way?
Yeah, so we've got a company called Africa Podcast Network, which is run by a gentleman by the name of John Savage. Mm-hmm. They're based at MPD Studios in Newtown Junction, Johannesburg CBD. They're going to be there, and they host all sorts of different podcasts.
Yes.
So I also record some of my episodes from MPD Studios as well.
Yes.
They've got other sporting podcasts. They've got a lot of successful podcasts.
Yes.
My brother Penuel, the Black Pen, records from there sometimes. Meg G started his podcast from there as well.
Yeah.
So they've got a whole lot of other podcasts from there. Gigi Lamine, I think she also records from there. So a lot of their podcasts will be there.
Okay.
You know, without name dropping all of them, because I'm going to forget some of them. But also, John Savage is somebody who is running the African Podcast Network and who travels the world, following podcast trends all over the world. He's going to be one of our speakers. Grootman Tebe Kalafeng, who is an esteemed African speaker, brand specialist, and doctor. He's now doctor.
Come on.
By the way, congratulations, Grootman Yaka. He's now Dr. Tebe Kalafeng. Who's blessed us, you know, with an agreement, like he agreed to want to come in and say one or two things to our audiences. And I'm just eternally grateful because I've always looked up to him. You've got, the other guys who are in this podcast space, Penuel, the Black Pen will be there. You've got Abo Sis Ursula. She's got an amazing podcast. There's a lot of people, Abo Kokos Koteni, like a lot of podcasters will be there. So it's just all about podcasting on Friday. And I can name other names, but it's just
Yeah,
it's just going to be a podcast extravaganza on Friday. And then Saturday, the lineup is, these guys who've got a platform called Bread for Soul, which is Sir LSG, who's an incredible deep house DJ with his wife, DJ Soul Diva. Shout out to my brother Oscar Mbo, who's agreed to come through and grace us with his presence and give us a set. Shout outs. Oh, by the way, Friday you also have got David Mashabela, also has got one of the biggest podcasts in the country. He'll be here. He'll be there. Apart from Oscar Mbo, who else? Black Motion.
Come on.
You know, Black Motion will be there.
Nice.
We love Black
it's
Motion.
A hot lineup, yeah.
Black Motion will be there as well. Sjava wanted to be there, but on that day, he's got like three other gigs.
Oh,
and Sjava doesn't do more than three gigs a day. So he really wanted to be there. But then who else? Jeez, the lineup is long. I also don't want to forget about others.
Okay.
So others will not necessarily be performing, but they'll be giving talks around the business of the music industry.
Absolutely. Who's your MC? I'm going to be your MC.
Oh, that's a very, very good point. Who's our MC? Yes.
There we go.
So you are the MC.
I am the MC. Thanks. I could sit here and talk to you forever.
There's so many things to talk
about.
I'm actually feeling rad as you're saying. Good joke.
I'm like...
Like, there was a time when I thought the interview was finished, when you're like, okay, we'll talk about that later. Let's talk. I'm like, you and what other things? And then now, as you're talking, I'm like, yeah, no, Umuntu has been blessed to have worked so much that there's so much to talk about.
Absolutely. Okay, but main focus is the podcast festival is coming up now in June.
Yeah.
This summer, there will be a book and an album coming out.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to a
TV show
comeback
sometime
in 2025.
Yeah.
We'll announce that in due time, and you will hear it first here on Times Lab exclusively. What am I leaving out? What else is in the pipeline?
Ah, man, my foundation is going to be going back to doing more work on the ground.
Okay.
I feel my foundation has been doing work now quietly and silently behind the scenes. Maybe it's time to also now start sharing about some of the work that the foundation has been doing and inspiring that a positive energy of going back to our communities, being, you know, present on the ground, helping out, inspiring, helping out wherever we can, because ultimately that's what we're all about. And that's what I'm about. I'm blessed to become a blessing. And my mission is to change people's lives, you know?
Absolutely. And if you still want to buy some land.
Oh, because I'm also in real estate. Shout out to Ekasi Noble Property Development.
Yes.
We work together at Ekasi Noble Properties. We've got developments in North Riding Equestrian Estates.
Yeah.
If you'd like to find out more about the opportunities that we have and the estates that we're building and the land opportunities that we have for your investments, you can go to our website www.ekasinobleproperties.com. That's ekasinobleproperties.com. Our land opportunities start from as little as 195,000 rands for 200 squares. We've got 300 squares, 400 squares, 500 squares upwards. People are buying double land, triple land, people building homes for themselves. We also help people who are blacklisted. So we're in the real estate and property space. We're building our real estate. One is just growing in his entrepreneurship journey. journey.
Yeah.
But I'm now more about land. I'm more about livestock.
Mm.
I also have been learning crypto, you know.
Yeah. Buying some you're still doing crypto?
Bitcoin here and there. That's but the... I don't talk about it in public anymore.
Okay.
When you do that, people use your profile to scam people.
Oh, damn.
So I've had bad experiences of people thinking,
oh, damn.
I asked money from them, I sent them bank accounts, and then I'm like, damn. And then I started understanding that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Everybody in the crypto space, once you start speaking, have you seen people's profiles where they say, this is my only account?
This is my only
account. No Facebook account. No crypto. No, I don't do Forex type of thing.
Yes,
it's because people take your profile.
Mm.
And just because here and there you talk about crypto or Forex, they sort of scam people because they follow you. They know the things you talk about and they sort of mimic your page and they create a duplicate page. Even though it's got low followers, there's some people somehow for some reason who... For some reason, there will be people who will believe these stories and get scammed.
Yeah.
So that was sort of starting to happen with my name. That's why I was like, you know what? I think it's because of me speaking about crypto.
Yeah.
And because it's also a risk, especially for in our country, for a lot of South Africans, let me just shut up about it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I stopped talking about it.
Yeah. Yes.
But I mean, in my own space, I still participate in crypto.
Absolutely. I remember there was a post in 2021. You posted like somebody's slip from the club. And it was like about 40,000 and something. You're
I think
well,
it was 400,000.
400,000. Like, I would have just bought crypto.
I would have just bought Bitcoin.
Bitcoin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, not getting into it. But thank you so much for gracing us with your presence. I am very honored to have spoken to you for such a short space of time. I definitely would have loved to pick your brain a little bit more. But for taking the time, I'd really appreciate it. And really all the best on all these ventures. Don't forget to come back. Give us a call so we can announce it here first. We'll put you on the paper too. Such a times affiliated. Come on.
I'm just proud of you. It's just been great to see you at a Massive Metro a few years ago to what you're building for yourself and your career. I'm so proud of you. Look after this opportunity and grow within this company. This is a very big organization.
Okay.
Very proud of all of your guys that have been following my work over the years. Proud of a lot of young people that have impacted with my life over the years. And I know that you guys always tell me that you're always thankful for the little bit that I've done to contribute unto your lives. I just want to tell you that I'll continue to do that. And as much as I do what I do, I also am having fun while doing it. I'm not a perfect human being, but I love you guys. I want you guys to be better people and I want you guys to succeed. May the good Lord continue to bless you, Niti. And that's all. I'll see you guys on the book list. I'll see you guys on the album. You listen to the music and you love it. See you guys on TV. And we'll chat tomorrow morning on Radio 2000.
Come
we're nationwide.
Now. Come on now. And don't forget to hug the tree, take off your shoes, touch the ground.
That's called grounding.
Being grounded.
Yeah, that's grounding.
Yes.
Trees are alive.
Yes.
Yeah, the air that we breathe is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors, the one who passed on, they're actually alive. Nobody dies. Energy just evolves and just takes a different form.
Yes.
So they're in a form of spirit, or you call them guardian angels, whatever you want to call them, but they're alive. They're listening to us. They hear us. So don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of anything. Don't be afraid of failure. Go for your dreams with all you've got. You only have got this one life to live. There is no rehearsals. You are only living it once. There's no need for playing small. Go big. And if you fail forward and get up, dust yourself like what I have done, and then keep moving.
But
they'll never stop talking.
But God can give you 10,000 other lives. Not second chances. Lovely.
Yes,
thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Dango.